The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
With Paul McCartney is sponsored by Burger King, CFAL, Commonwealth Bank, the Digital Transformation Unit, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, the Fincastle Media Group, Island Pay, J.S. Johnson, Anyway Insurance Agents and Brokers, Popeyes, and Ron's Electric Motors.
Good afternoon, Bahamas, and welcome to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name's Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. Still broadcasting from my home. All the COVID's gone, so maybe tomorrow we could be back in effect in the studio, but that might not happen. Certainly next week we'll be back in the studio. Although I am quite comfortable here at home, I'm in my bedroom. I have on basketball shorts. Not that I would put on a suit to go into the studio. I'd probably just be wearing cargo shorts or jeans. This is very comfortable. I am within grasp of my gun, so where I can at least see my gun safe as we speak. So I'm pretty comfortable. There's healthy snacks nearby and cold water as well. All right. We don't have anything specific we want to talk about today, although I got a few things. You can call me if you have any issues, if you have any questions, we can do an open line sort of thing. I'm not entertaining anything bonkers, but we can see what else we're dealing with out there. Okay. So the Office of the Prime Minister had a press conference today, and Clint Watson is back. He had COVID, and now he's clearly well rested. They gave Clint all the vitamins, and he went and addressed a lot of different issues that were going on out there. All right. So one of the things he addressed was the former prime minister and his comments about taxing the rich to help the poor. And to an extent, I do agree with Clint, because often people latch onto these popular talking points and ideas without fully understanding, or if they do fully understand, without being honest about how this all works. So let's examine what the Prime Minister said. We're also going to talk about the travel issue too. Let's examine what the former Prime Minister said about taxation. And you know, let's examine not only what he said, but it's not like he's just in opposition. Well, A, you know, if I'm Pintard, I want him to shut up, but he is the former prime minister, so people are going to ask him questions. But let's not only examine what he said, but let's examine what he actually did while he was in office. Because in this scenario, it's not like he doesn't have a track record that we can look at and go, well, this is what you were about, yada, yada, yada. Right. So first and foremost, he wasn't trying to help no poor people. All right. Not at the expense of no rich people, period. Okay. So if you want to be totally intellectually disingenuous, you will say that the former administration put through a 60% hike on 99.5% of all goods and services in the country. But yet, because they took some tax off of medicines, and took made some 20 breadbasket items zero rated and put in a threshold for BPL light bills that they were really on the poor man's side, right? So it speaks to total disingenuousness, a total mischaracterization of what your entire administration was about. You guys increased taxes on everybody, the poor included. And the most like pedantic, trolling, condescending thing you can say is that poor people only eat bread basket items. Poor people only use these sets of medicines. Poor people are only worried about their light bill and their water bill. I got news for you about these poor people who I guess you characterize them as some sort of subhuman peasant class that is doing subsistence living. You can be poor, but you still have basic needs beyond breadbasket items, beyond paying your electricity bill, beyond paying your water bill, all right? And if you're poor enough and you don't have running water, you're going to get free water anyway. You still have needs other than those few things if you are poor. It is not only disingenuous to suggest such that poor people only need the things that you were willing to give them a break on with the VAT. Poor people need lots of stuff. All right, just like middle class people, just like upper class people, just like rich people, their needs are varied. You're not poor and you're just like, well, only what we can get from the bread basket, that's what we're going to eat today. And otherwise, we're going to just hovel over in a corner and shrivel up and die. Poor people use lots of things. Poor people, broke people. It is the height of condescension to think that you were looking out for them because you took VAT off of these few items and increase VAT on everything else. Poor people need attorney services. Poor people need health services. Poor people need clothes. Poor people have discretionary spending to some extent. Poor people use all sorts of goods and services in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, and you put taxes up on all of them. So to suggest that you were somehow looking out for the poor and you're only taxing those who could afford it is nonsense. Further to that, when you guys tried to put taxes up on these second homeowners, it took one letter from a Life or Key homeowner for you guys to back up right off that. So you're talking about taxing the rich to give to the poor. That's just populism and pandering nonsense that you're talking about. This economy that we are in consists of more than the poor and the rich. And it really disturbs me that that's how we try to break this down. When I say we, I mean politicians looking for cookies and brownie points. We try to break this down as if we are a society that exists on two levels, who's rich and who's poor. It's nonsense. You have people who are working class, who have jobs, who work for your same government of the Bahamas, who need all sorts of things. Even poor people do. Poor people don't need furniture. You put tax up on that. Poor people don't need appliances. No, what do poor people do? They cook outside on coals. You put tax on that. Poor people don't need bed sheets, mattresses. You put tax on that. Poor people don't have televisions. Tax went up on that. Phones. So what is this narrative that you were looking out for the poor? I'm confused. Yeah? Super confused. My mother was retired, couldn't work if she wanted to. She got $375 a month from NIB. What do you think's going on out here? Like, you gave the poor people this huge break and they were great. You think my mother, once you looked at her $375 a month, which I'm going to help you, couldn't cover the cost of her medicines? Well, at one point it could, but when she first started getting it, it couldn't. But NIB did catch up to put her medicines on the list. That's the other thing. The government pays for 90% of the medicine that people actually use, particularly poor people. She still had needs. She still had things she wanted to do. She still wanted to have discretionary spending. She still wanted to get a hot dog from up the side of the road. She still wanted to go get soda or whatever it is. And you put lots of things out of reach. Lots and lots and lots of things. She liked to garden. You put taxes up on all that stuff. You tell people do backyard farming, but did you put taxes up on all the supplies? So miss me with you guys were looking out for the poor. I don't believe that. It's not true. It's nonsense. And it's disingenuous. And it's condescending. It's pandering. And you have your political following repeat it. And they sound less crazy than you, because you actually could have done something about it. The people who are regurgitating that and repeating that, they don't have no power. They didn't have no stripes, right? You did. This was your idea to put the taxes up on everything. Okay, so spare us that you were looking out for the poor. Let's start there, right? Spare us that you were looking out for the poor and that you were so, and let's look at the other end. You were so willing to tax the rich? Really, no. Let me see. Did you not reduce the business license fee threshold for larger companies? Did you not allow large companies to zero rate transportation services and other services that were going forward? Did you not rescind the increase in taxes on these properties that the Life for Key homeowner talked about? Did you move the $5 million real property tax for rich people, since you were so like trying to go get the rich people? Or did you offer like no taxes on helicopters and industrial washing machines or whatever it was, and caviar? You know what I mean? Like, what did you do to tax the rich? All right. You know what? The rich need bed sheets. The poor need bed sheets. But the rich can afford to pay the VAT increase. The rich need toasters. Poor people need toasters. And they like toast. All right, but the rich people can afford it. You dig what I'm saying? Rich people need clothes. Poor people need clothing. The rich people can pay your increase. You were not looking out for the poor, and you were not targeting the rich. So that's all nonsense that you guys are talking about in the Free National Movement. And I ain't saying that to attack the Free National Movement. I'm just saying this is what it is. It's nonsense that you guys were so concerned about what happened to the poor people. Performative stuff, right? Which is fine. Took the threshold, you know, put that threshold there on the BPL. All right. Did the couple of breadbasket items. Did some of the pharmaceutical and medicines. I get that. But you weren't aggressive with no rich people. The record will show that there are still hundreds of millions of dollars outstanding in taxes, a lot of it from rich people. You didn't go after that. You didn't put any sort of corporate tax on large IBCs or anything like that. So I'm trying to figure out what you're talking about. Poor people do stuff too. You know, poor people are poor, but they're not all poor to the point where they just lie down and don't have anything going on. They move about. They have desires, wants, needs. They try to afford certain things. They try to do certain things for their children. You guys talk about the poor people as if they're like just all living under the bridge. And when you're with them, they're scrambling for scraps. All right? Be serious when you're talking this stuff. You weren't targeting the rich. Now you want everybody to target the rich. And I don't care. You go eat the rich. You go barbecue them. I ain't rich. You weren't targeting the rich. And you were not looking out for the poor. Not with your VAT stuff. Let's just stop being nonsensical. Yeah, someone said, yeah, this is exactly. In fact, you gave discounts to real property tax holders who hadn't paid in years. You gave them a tax break. All right, stop it. One, stop speaking about poor people as if they are just these subsistence dwellers who don't have any other interest than I just want to eat today. If I can get this can of corned beef, I want to eat it. Now, if that's on the corned beef, I'm going to die. I'm going to sit. I'm going to crawl over here and die. That was the difference between my life and my death. My existence is so shallow, so singular. If you don't do that for me, I'm dead. All right? You guys are playing checkers, man. All right? The rest of us are playing chess, or at least Connect Four. All right? Stop being ridiculous. Now, if you have solutions that you think are common sense, let's talk about it. But stop framing this thing as if you were really looking out for the poor and you really were like taking the rich people to task. It's nonsense. Okay? It's patent nonsense. Okay? So let's talk about what he said in terms of Juan, you're so comfortable at home doing the show, you should consider doing a podcast about all things Bahamian. I think it would be great. I have some great guests like Chef Simeon. You know what? That's weird. My wife was just telling me I should do a podcast now that I have everything set up at home. I probably do about like books. I like books and I like science fiction, you know, fantasy. That would be like more of a global reach. But I'd love to do a podcast on all things Bahamian. I'm very interested in my country. This says, many pensioners have to decide whether to buy grocery or medicine. Medicine was VAT-free. The PLP said they would reduce it to 10%. It was cruel to put medicine 10% rather than leave it VAT-free. Hakita said they would have to increase VAT if they make it 0% VAT again. This is clear deception, anyone with common sense. You're correct. Many pensioners do decide between medicine and grocery. I know that because my mother was in that position. She, only income she had was the national insurance. And it would not have allowed her to live. If it were not for her family, it would have been a problem. All right, no doubt. And if you want to take VAT off the medicine and the bread basket items, go right ahead. But the fact of the matter remains, you put taxes up on everything else. And poor people still need those other things. All right? And the, who are subsidizing the people who don't have money, all right? Like my family was doing with my mom, right? We don't have endless amounts of money. We had to pay more for our stuff and help with our stuff. All right. Oh, we got a call? Good afternoon. Let's take the call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
Not bad. You know, Mr. McCartney, remember when the PL, when the FNM tried to put the tax on the life of key folks?
Yes, of course I do.
You know, and then the life of key folks, they pushed back. And the FNM lift the tax, right? And then the FNM tried to put the tax on the number men, right? And the PLP got in arms with that. And they said, well, you lift, you wouldn't tax the rich man, but now you want to tax the poor business, the rich business, the black businessman, right?
Right.
So my point is that, what are the PLP doing? Are they interested in taxing the rich? Seem like they're not interested in taxing the rich. In other words, all of their policies are the same, and I feel like the FNM did better than them. At least they had, you understand me, they made an attempt to do it. Right?
Oh, the FNM attempted to tax the rich?
Yeah, I mean, those properties, rental and thing, and life key, and like, remember, and then they said
they reversed it in a week, though.
Pardon?
They reversed it the second one of those guys complained.
Pardon?
The FNM reversed the tax that would have impacted the rich homeowners the moment that one of the rich homeowners complained.
Right.
So I don't buy the argument that they were trying to tax the rich.
What I'm saying is they made an attempt, right? But then they pulled back.
Yeah, I mean, you okay.
See? Yeah, and then see,
almost,
then PLC,
almost doesn't count though.
Right, but then remember again, I say the PLC, they had a problem with pulling it back, and then putting the tax on the number. Right, so my question to PLP is, why are you not taxing these rich folks around? That's my question to them. You see, and I come to the conclusion that these people are bought by the lobbyists of the rich men in this country, and the rich investors. That's why we can't get the taxes that we need, the progressive taxes that we need. You know, everybody's saying to be understand how all we need to do is grow the economy, but we've been growing the economy sometimes from the production of Freeport. We've been growing the economy. From the beginning of Freeport, we've been growing the economy. I never did the taxes necessary to help the black man, the poor black man. Thank you.
Okay. I don't agree with that about the poor black man, helping the poor black man. I've seen the poor black man get lots of help. We can always do more to help the poor black man. I don't know why we're saying poor black man. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, good afternoon, Juan. How are you today?
I'm good. How's it going?
Everything cool. I hope you get well soon from that Omicron, you know?
I'm fine. Yeah.
Well, at least it is not as bad as the other variant what was around before that.
I've had my top worst hangovers, like what I experienced with Omicron, it doesn't match any of those.
Wow, okay.
You know, like, you ever been hungover so bad, you start bargaining with Jesus? Like,
you did not bet
Jesus,
that
just help me. Just help me, Jesus. Get over this, and I swear to you, I'm going to tithe. I'm going to, right, like that.
Pandemic,
no, it wasn't even close.
Right? Just before the pandemic, the F&M administration with Inland Revenue, they started a project where they came into government subdivisions and were re-evaluating the homes in the government subdivision to retax those homes, okay? When the former administration had give homes under $250,000, or I think it went up to $300,000, a tax break, they were getting ready to retax some of those homes in the government subdivision. I think it's bad because they started in the government subdivision. This ain't something I'm telling you. This is something I've witnessed for myself because I had to answer some questions for one of the ladies that came by because they had the foreign company was either hired because they had a gentleman coming in your yard, measuring your yard, the length of your yard, the size of your yard, whatever structure you had built in your yard, your driveway, and all that. But I'm glad a person like you, who's not a PLP, right, can emphatically state that the 10% VAT on bread basket items is far more better than not having the 10%, I mean, not having VAT on any items at all, because the F&M had took VAT up to 12%, which means although you had a tax-free with the bread basket items, you still would have been paying more VAT.
Exactly.
Thank you.
That's on me. All right, bro. Okay. Nah, you have to demonstrate to me with an appraisal from a bank-approved appraiser, what government subdivision home worth more than $250,000? I'm not trying to diss y'all. I'm just saying I haven't seen no government home worth more than $250,000. Well, anyway, let me not do that. Somebody who I know, who knows somebody I know somebody who's been living in a government home for about 10 years and has double the size of the government home. I think he's about to put another story on it. and has also annexed some government property back of its home. That home might be worth more than $250,000. All of that is totally illegal, but it's somebody I know. Somebody I know knows somebody. Knows somebody's cousin. That's what I understand it to be. We got another call. Sure. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon. One idea, my brother.
I'm great. How's it going?
Man, you know, I always good. Let me see if I can help you a little bit, you know, because I know your friend Balance. Something like me. The call for me, his name is the hardcore PLB. He can never see no wrong what the PLB do. And I don't believe in, I don't let it kind of foolishness. But let me make my point.
Right.
The last thing that you said a while ago, in all the subdivisions, people are not going upstairs. So you got to pay more money. So what happened? See, and when we call the country, well, people won't get mad. We don't know. The government bringing those foreign quarters ways because the BME people can cut the book and do a kind of foolishness. See, these people ain't on nobody. They ain't foreign spending on nobody. And this is what we need to do straight across the board. See, the only thing what I would agree with Mitch for and other people calling the show is that they would like to keep Paris out and old Fort be face all the East Coast West. See, because they can't keep marching us down one. We struggling to pay our bills right now. All of us. I'm working hard now to pay our tax. Fair or trying to pay our taxes. You see, but like I keep telling you, remember I told you a couple months ago, I say, one, you know, I can give them a degree for 6 months, 7 months. Remember that?
I remember, yeah.
See, my thing is, see, I don't want to hear no more talk from the Prime Minister, you know, co-govern, my brother. Go do what you have to do. Your job is to legislate. Leave the PSS and the SS alone. Let them do their job. They know who qualified to get his work, you know. A lot of people in get away and mark their names and all these government ministries. Let the PSS and the SS and the SS do their job. You all go legislate and amend. Go fix the loopholes. The people stealing the land. The foreigners getting all these things. Go and appeal the land all night back. One, I got children, grandchildren. These are the kind of things that concern me, my brother. I'm trying to take my call.
I feel you. No problem. All right. I don't know. We got to take a break. I could sometimes hear the music. I don't know, man. I'll say this. And we could get into the meat of what Minna said. But to me, it is difficult. Not because I just don't like you as prime minister, because I really didn't. But it's not just because of that. It is because you actually have a track record to compare what you're suggesting to what you actually did. All right. So I don't take you seriously because I don't see you looking out for no poor. I see you thinking you pretending like you looked out for the poor when you put everything else up on them, because the poor people only wear sackcloth and old crocus sacks. They tape up phone books for their shoes. You know what I mean? What are you talking about? Anyway, you have a track record, so I don't take you seriously when you're talking. Because you had every opportunity to do all this stuff that you're talking about, fix over the hill, all this other stuff like that. You had the opportunity to do, you were in the driver's seat, and you were there, okay? It says I have a guest. Now I have a guest that after the 1 o'clock break, I have a guest. Not before the 1 o'clock break. After the 1 o'clock break, we'll be speaking with Reach. They got a nice fun run coming on, and we're gonna talk with them about that, all right? Now, if Pintard suggested, I could take him seriously. If Shannon Don suggested, I could take them seriously because they weren't actually making the decisions. They weren't Minister of Finance. They weren't Prime Minister. They didn't have the opportunity to do this stuff or not. All right? So, Minis, talking about protecting the poor? Come on, man. Let's be serious. We got to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
The most important thing in life is family. And whenever you need reliable advice, you look to the people you know you can trust. At J.S. Johnson & Johnson Brokers, we earn our clients' trust every day. Whether it's home, motor, travel, or commercial insurance, we've got you covered. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S. Johnson Insurance.
Happy anniversary, My Gateway. Did you know that you can request and pay for over 35 government services on mygateway.gov.bs? Sign up today and access government services online with efficiency and simplicity. It's a celebration of a year of collective success on our digital transformation journey. My Gateway, making government work for you.
You do coffee your way. Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance Agents and Brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and the generator's back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance.
2462 4-9. Good afternoon, Bombers. Welcome back to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We're going to be talking with Reach for a few minutes. They got a fun run walk coming up, and we'll be talking about that with them for a few minutes, and we'll continue our conversations as well. Okay, let me deal with your text messages and that, because I want to say something about this travel thing too. You're going to get upset with me again, but we're talking about today. It says the Christie administration introduced VAT, the Minnesota administration increased it. None of these major political parties have the necessary resolve to do what is necessary. At the end of the day, the poor will always be among us and the middle class will be hollowed out. Yeah, no doubt. Because if you're trying to really put it together, it's the middle class that's going to provide a lot of employment for people who would be considered poor, all right, before big, huge, rich companies. Not that big, huge, rich companies don't hire poor people. They, of course, do. But you're going to get, before you have a big, huge, rich company, like let's say you got a Sandals going to hire 1,000 people, all right? The majority of them won't be poor. The majority of them will just need work, all right? But that's going to be a one-off thing every few years, right, that you're going to get some sort of investment like that, unless they start announcing these over and over again. But when you have middle-class people who can afford to open businesses over and over again, because the economy is doing well and being strained, they're able to save, they're able to borrow, you're going to have them hire 2-3 people at a time, right? And those people will be who take those jobs, cashiers, stock people, you know, sales clerks. Those people will usually be people who really do need the work as well. And they may not necessarily be poor, but there's going to be work provided for people to do. If you have a good, robust, growing middle class, you need a lot of things going on at once in your society, but the middle class is very important. So that's why I say you can't keep talking like only poor people in the country. That's what y'all say, because y'all want to send these virtue signals out like you care so much about poor people, but you talking about who's poor and just let's look at who's poor, everything like that, without looking at the rest of the economy that's going to actually lift the poor people up. That ain't helping them. You got to look at the overall picture and go, you know what, when this economy is robust and we put programs in place, the poor people can get education, get certification. We can have a thriving middle class as well as a large investment that's hiring people to move from poverty to working class to middle class and then to become people who are considered wealthy. Those are the kinds of conversations and thinking that we need to have. Not all to push, help the poor, screw everybody else. Good morning, Mr. Wan. Your opening statement about the poor people concerning the statements of the former PM was excellent. Way to go. Good job. Well, thanks. Just 95% of my items went down by 2%. They didn't go down by 2%. They went down by about 15%, I think it is. This is many pensioners. I wrote there that one. Great show as usual, Wan. Politicians speak about poor people a certain way because it works on the political platform. Some people buy into it. Yeah, clearly. This is good afternoon, Wan. I don't know why the former PM don't stop speaking. Oh, if my guests from Reach are there, I would beg their indulgence to wait until after the 1 o'clock break, or we're only going to be able to go from 12:55 to 1 p.m., whereas after the 1 o'clock break, we can have a more robust conversation. So I would beg your indulgence to hold on. Let's finish these parts of the conversations. I apologize. I do not do interviews before the 1 p.m. hour. I make that clear to all of the sales and production people. But I apologize if there was some miscommunication. But we're going to wait until we come back from the 1 o'clock break, and then we're going to speak with Reach. Okay? Do that should have been made clear. Okay. Good afternoon, Wan. I don't know why the former PM don't stop speaking. My God, he wants us to believe that taking that off breadbasket items is looking out for the poor, when there are much greater things it could be done to look out for the poor if he's serious. Yeah, absolutely. This says, I'm a bit older than you, and I know the level of crime is over the top, but I can't imagine being in my home, and my solace is that I'm within arm's reach of my gun. I mean, hey, I'm out on the road. I got nothing, you know? So I'm here. You out on the road, you're not none. Anybody could try you. Well, anybody could try you at home, too. It says, tell Minnis, be quiet. Everyone says they could have ran faster after the race is over. Yeah. It says, Wan, why Michael Pintard called the police for Minnis? Did he? It says, brave administration refused to comply with the Procurement Act passed last September to reveal the cost of contracts from September to now. Deliberately breaking the law. Their excuse is that they intend to amend it. Gangsters. I don't know if I'd call it gangsterism, but they should comply with the law. You don't flout the law until you can change the law. All right. You abide by the law until you change the law. So I do think that they need to do better. Because you could change that tomorrow. You could have changed that on September, what it was, 20, whatever, first day all come to the house. Great show as usual, Wan. A lot of people concerned about the poor, but what about the middle class? So we don't exist. The middle class is who drives the economy. Exactly. And the middle class spends more than the poor people. And proportionately, the middle class spends more than rich people. All right. I'm middle class. I'm trying to be rich. I won't make any apologies for it. I want to be rich. But I've been working for many years. I'm middle class. I'm happy that I was able to even do that. I'm trying to get rich. But the fact of the matter remains is that I'm middle class and I've been employed this entire time. And due to inflation, due to all these other things, you know, every month, being very careful to be able to try to maintain your lifestyle. Prime Minister Davis and his merry men should be ashamed of themselves. Nothing changed, still about the greedy, not a needy friend, family, and lover. I don't know what you're talking about in that regard. Good day, Wan. Yesterday, you were addressing the bad mind culture, but look at the judiciary concerning Magistrate Ferguson Pratt and Attorney Galanos. Talk about Wilden, no accountability for this class of people. Yeah, I was reading some stuff about that. I need to beef up more on that before I comment publicly on that. Why does no one talk about the $100 million owed to the mortgage corporation? What is the PLP plans to collect this? Why are they allowed to live for free and pay nothing, and taxpayers and businesses must pay more for these people who can't pay the minimum? Yep, I'm with you. Hi, Wan. Hope all is well with you and your family. This is a few times I'm asking for Ministry of Works to please pave the road that leads to Sadie Curtis School wall on Nassau Village side. It's long overdue for asphalt. Thank you. says, Juan, you're so disingenuous, and you just seem to continue to pander to these PLP trolls. I have 4 kids in the University of the Bahamas prior to the Minnesota government. I struggle to pay tuition fees per term, $3,000 or about $2,000 annually. After the Minnesota government made it free for my children, I paid nothing. I'm going to say this. Since you was petty with me, I'm going to be petty with you, right? Since you were calling me disingenuous, you want to call names, I'm going to be petty with you. If your kids were smarter before the Minnesota administration came in, they would have been going to UB for free anyway. So maybe you should like help them study and not been paying for UB. Since I'm disingenuous, your kids maybe aren't that smart. We got to take a break. We're going to be back right after this. Stay tuned.
Play this record as frequently as possible.
Friday, May 20th, it's time to feel good.
It's Star Wars X and Four Walls.
Feel good Friday.
Classic.
The Star 106 Anniversary Edition.
Happening at the Four Walls Squash and Social Club Village Road.
I got so
early vibes.
Vintage.
Block party.
Exclusively for the grown and sexy.
With the best in throwback classics.
Happening at the new outdoor terrace bar at Four Walls.
Limited tickets on sale now at the Nassau Guardian and Four Walls for $20 in advance.
Come out early to enjoy the open rum bar from 5 to 6 p.m.
This is a strictly cashless party.
So bring your old school dancing moves with your new school payment options.
Feel Good Fridays. Friday, May 20th.
This summer, Popeyes and Coke are taking you to the beach with our Ultimate Summer Beach Box. Purchase the box and enter to win day passes, water park passes, beach chairs, towels, and much more. Enjoy the Ultimate Summer Box, which has our iconic chicken sandwich, 2 chicken tenders, 1 side of choice, and a 32-ounce Coca-Cola beverage. With dipping sauce, perfect for a beach day. Fill out the skill question on your receipt, then drop it into the entry box or enter online at Popeyes Bahamas Facebook page.
Children are a blessing and should be treated with love and care. They deserve safe, stable, and nurturing relationships, a supportive family environment, and positive social networks. Mothers, fathers, teachers, aunties, uncles, neighbors, Bahamas, let's do our part to stop the physical, sexual, and mental abuse of our children. Make the calls, file the reports, save precious lives. Let's join hands and hearts and say no more to child abuse. This message was brought to you by CFAL, growing wealth for future generations.
Scan on Bahamas, it's your boy, Sawyer Boy. COVID is clearly unpredictable. It doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are. I'm young, and it still put a beating on me. I had no other option but to go to the hospital. I remember the doctor telling me if I had waited one more day, I wasn't gonna come inside here alive. You don't wanna be in the same position that I was in. Vaccines may not stop you from getting COVID, but it can stop you from getting COVID the way I had COVID. You don't want that way.
afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name's Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. Now we are on the phone with Reach. All right. So joining us today, we have Geerte Kalmer. I'm hoping I didn't screw that up. She's on the Reach Fun Run Walk Planning Committee. She volunteers with Reach, and she also has a child on the autism spectrum. We also have on the line with us, she's a Reach board member, and she today joins Geerte Kalmer to talk about the Fun Run Walk that's happening this Saturday. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Ladies, how are you?
Good afternoon.
Excellent. Great to have you with us. So Reach is having a Fun Run Walk this Saturday. Tell us about it, please.
That is correct. So we are having our annual Fun Run Walk. Unfortunately, we were not able to have it for the past 2 years because of COVID, but we are so happy to resume. And it is a walk that begins on Montague Beach, and it will, it's for anybody of any athletic ability. We have fun families walking. We have people who are, you know, trying to get medals, but it is going to be held this Saturday, 6 a.m., Montague Beach, and we will, the route that we're taking is down East Bay Street, over the bridge, onto Paradise Island. Those of more acute athletic ability are going to go all the way down to Ocean Club. The rest of us will go over the new bridge and go back onto Shirley Street and then go back to Montague Beach.
Okay, how long is that? How long is the course?
In miles or in time?
Like distance.
I am not absolutely sure. You know that?
No, I'm thinking we should be done around 8.
I'm thinking way before that.
Way before that?
The runners are usually back within half an hour.
Like there and back sounds like 3 miles, I'm going to say.
I think that would be about right. I think maybe the runners, it may be about 5 miles. Walkers, it'd probably be about 3 miles.
Mm-hmm. Right, absolutely. Okay, so Reach is an organization involved in the autism community. Tell us about the work you do. Also, I know last month was Autism Awareness Month. Tell us about some things that happened then and why we're doing the run this month.
Okay, so yes, Autism Awareness Month was during the, the month of April. And it is a yearly event when we celebrate awareness and acceptance of people within our community who are on the autism spectrum. Reach is an organization that provides support to not only children, but also families, parents who are, having to deal with this spectrum disorder from day to day. And so we provide, educational opportunities.
Resources for parents who struck with this diagnosis, and a lot of times we don't know much about it, what to do, where to go. And so Reach has been one of those anchors that helps a lot of the parents to guide us as to where we should go, what we should do, and the steps to take in reference to helping our children.
Unfortunately, there are not a lot of resources. It's a worldwide problem that, for example, wait lists are extremely long to get your child into therapies, for example. But I think it's even more acute in the Bahamas and in the Caribbean in general, that there are not opportunities, educational opportunities, therapeutic opportunities to really get your child the help that they need.
Absolutely. And so the Fun Run Walk is really to support the work that Reach does.
Yes. And to bring awareness.
To bring awareness, yes.
And that's what Autism Awareness Month did as well. We brought awareness. We had Light It Up Blue. which is held annually the 2nd of April. And that is usually where, literally, we light up an area blue. You may have seen different buildings around Nassau that have been lit up blue, like Kalina, Rubis, and those are some of our active sponsors. In addition to some private, there may have been homes or other businesses that were lit up blue during the month of April, and that is just to bring awareness. So Light It Up Blue is a time when we not only light up a building blue, you know, but we also highlight children who may have been diagnosed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Also, we highlight volunteers within reach who are, you know, just working without pay. We also provide educational opportunities during Light It Up Blue and during the month of April, but also year-round. Mm-hmm. That is what we do at Reach. You want to say some more?
I just want to say that in reference to Reach, a lot of times as parents, my son, he is 5 now. We got the diagnosis at the age of 3. And, you know, as a parent, that news, it was like a gut punch because you're trying to figure out how am I going to deal with something that I really don't know much about. Mm-hmm. And then to actually begin to do the research and see the limited resources that we have in country, the limited therapists that we have in country, and the limit we have in country that our children. We could raise awareness, but I really believe inclusion is the key.
Yes.
A lot of times we deal with the children as if they're an afterthought. And so everything done in the school curriculum is based on an afterthought for them. And these are brilliant children. They can do love. But if they don't have the opportunity for the resources, for the therapies, we're going to have, I say it's an epidemic for me, because we're going to have these children that's not going to be 3 and 5 all their lives. They're going to become adults. They're going to have to be among us in society. And I don't see where a lot is being done to include them in any aspect of society. But remember, they're not going to be for their lives. They're going to become men and women.
Correct.
And so we need to actually begin to plan now as to how are we going to help them now. The early intervention for our children is key for them to have a successful future in our communities.
Yes, completely agree.
Absolutely.
We're pushing for early awareness. You know, that's something that I'm passionate about. I work in a preschool and I, you know, sing this song every day. Early intervention, is key to assisting a child who has been recently diagnosed. However, in Reach, we are also very, very much aware that there are children who are now, you know, they're now adults. And so that is also a big part of our push and our work. We are looking to assist children and families at every age. We are looking to assist children and families when they're first diagnosed, at the age of 18 months, 24 months, 2 years old, all the way up into adulthood. And so we are waiting for our government to get involved and provide opportunities for older adults with autism to have opportunities to be employed,
yes,
have opportunities to get into the workplace.
Right.
You know, we call it a spectrum disorder because there are children, there are people at every end of the spectrum. There are people who are in need of support, support to do everything in order to live, all of their daily lot of support. And then there are people who don't need much support, who can carry on with independent lives, who can hold a job, who can work, who can advocate for themselves. And so it is our hope to impact all of those people. One of the things that Reach has done is that we have currently a survey. There are statistics in the United States, and we kind of, go along with the statistics, in the United States, which mm-hmm. is 1 in 44. So there is the statistics in the United States, according to the CDC, is that there is 1 in 44 children diagnosed with autism living wow. among us.
Yeah.
We feel as though it's probably very close to that right. here in the Bahamas and in the region, in the Caribbean. But based on my experience, I would venture to say that it could be more. But one of the things that REACH is doing is that we have a survey, and if anybody is interested, they can go to the REACH Facebook page and complete that survey. And in doing that, we are trying to compile data for our nation so that our government can see what we are dealing with, so that then they can, there will be a reason for them to become involved, for them to provide right. the educational opportunities, the work opportunities, the daily living, the therapies, so forth and so on.
Mm-hmm. The thing I do worry about is what you said, when the kids with autism become adults with autism mm-hmm. and what actual skills they learn and exactly. coping mechanisms they learn. The other thing I worry about is that there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of study being done on what's occurring. I did speak with a doctor during Autism Awareness Month, and he spoke about the prevalence of autism
okay.
by study going on. So no. I couldn't tell you, for instance, what the most common traits of autistic children in the Bahamas are. I know worldwide it's communication is the most frequent, a lack of communication
yes.
skills is the most frequent trait, but I don't understand what else is going on. So I, for instance, autism is such a huge catch-all for a lot of developmental issues that people sometimes have trouble distinguishing autism from other issues that may not be specifically because of autism.
Right.
And then there are times that people display behaviors that autistic people display, and they may not be suffering from autism. Right. It may be something else. For instance,
That's
I had
correct.
A relative who's a daughter. She was nonverbal, okay, until probably 4, 5, 6, mm-hmm. right? And even then, still very limited. And they were telling the parents that, well, it's likely autism and you got to do X, Y, Z. It turns out she was partially deaf.
Wow.
All right? And so you kind of lump them into, and so she got like the hearing aids, got to get a cochlear thing, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. she's doing well. Mm-hmm. But she lost a lot of developmental
yeah,
ground
right.
because they were saying she has autism
right,
and
right.
that you're not going to be able to change it.
Yeah,
you see? So I worry about that as well.
Absolutely.
I think where the evaluation comes in, that's where the evaluation comes in, because a lot of times, but if we do get the evaluation of the child, and that's when we'll get a proper diagnosis as to what it is. For me, my son started off, he's still not really verbal. He's saying words, but mm-hmm. not sentences. But I just realized something was wrong when there lack of eye contact. He would not respond to his name. I see that he will be flapping his arms and just seems distant, and words weren't there. So I knew for sure something was wrong, but I really didn't know what it was, and certainly didn't know what autism was. And so when I got the diagnosis, you have to not allow others to clinically diagnose your children without having the proper, without being properly educated or having the education to say, well, hey, I went to the doctor to diagnose my child. Not any doctor can diagnose your children. So we have to know that for at the beginning, to know who to go to diagnose or get the diagnosis for your child.
I would say that, I feel like parents need to educate themselves
right.
about what exactly their children should be doing at different ages
right.
and stages. I think that's the first step. There are ages and stages surveys that are available all over the internet. In particular, the CDC has surveys that a parent can do by themselves. So it allows you to be aware of the different milestones that your children should be achieving at a different at a certain age. That's the first step. But if a parent sees that there are milestones that their children or there are behaviors that they're engaging in that is not abnormal, then the first person that they should discuss it with is the child's pediatrician. I think that's so important. The pediatrician needs to be brought in. The pediatrician, and like Gerda said, not all pediatricians are able to diagnose, and I've experienced that. However, the parent needs to be aggressive in trying to understand what's happening with the, with their child, and not just accept a layperson's guess that that must be autism. Yeah. The parent should really dig deep into getting some answers. Pediatricians would always say the first thing that you should do is get a hearing test. Mm-hmm. Before they even go into speculating about autism, a hearing test is the first thing that they do. Usually a child who has autism, one of those, like Gerda said, there's a lack of, there's a speech impediment. There's developmentally, they are not on target with their speech. And so that's also something that should be, brought to the pediatrician's attention. And, you know, with all of those things, then, you know, we should be on the right road to getting the proper diagnosis. However, all that being, parents, when there is a concern about whether their child is autistic or not, you know, they're guessing, they're not absolutely sure, they're thinking, well, daddy didn't talk until he was five, or cousin didn't talk until he was five, whatever. My thing is, the diagnosis is not so important as early intervention. And so if you are suspicious that your child has a developmental delay, if you are suspicious that it may be autism, don't even wait.
No.
Talk to the pediatrician. If you're not able to get the answers, go and find out about speech therapy. If your child is not developing the speech that he should, just enroll him. It doesn't matter whether he is called autistic or called whatever. Right. Just get the therapy.
Right.
Right. And I think, and since, you know, what I like to talk about is autism awareness, because I don't have children who are autistic. But it's important, I think, that society understands the challenges that go into raising autistic children and being autistic. Not only issues I've learned through trying to become more aware, but there are a lot of medical issues as well, a lot of health issues that autistic people go through. Gastrointestinal issues, hypersensitivity, sometimes under-responsiveness to sensory issues. So, and then the parents have a lot of issues, too, that come with having to take on that role as a permanent caregiver.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. Gerda can speak to that.
For me, thank God there's no medical issues in reference to my son. But I tell people day to day, we have April as the Autism Awareness Month, but autism for a family that has been struck with it is a day, absolutely, every single day. Some more challenging than others, but I can only speak for me. It is challenging in every aspect. It's mentally, physically, financially draining, straining. The joy of it is I'm seeing so much progress in my son. And like we're saying, early intervention is key. And having that assistance, having that, I tell people, like, it takes a village. It really, it takes more than a village to raise a child on the spectrum. Support, I normally tell parents, like, you have to take a time out for yourself because it is so challenging. It is so draining. It is, oh my gosh, mentally, physically, it is draining. But when you see those steps, that extra word that he, you can't pay me $1 billion. That's how happy I am. And I was telling somebody the other day, Mother's Day passed. And I was like, I could pay $1 billion just to hear my son say, Mommy. But I know the time is going to come. Step by step progress each milestone, you celebrate it. You don't look at the things that they are not able to do. You look at the things that they are doing now, and you just celebrate it.
But every family is different.
Yes.
And so mm-hmm. Gerda's journey is different than another family's journey.
Right.
You know, there are some children, I know of some families, and the children are very verbal, and they are able to explain a lot. They
right.
are able to say mummy and everything else, things that you
right.
would not want
nice.
Them to say. And so it is mm-hmm. a spectrum disorder. You know, not all children who are autistic look the same,
no.
and not all families are challenged mm-hmm. with the same
right.
The same issues. And so, you know, we just thank God for the families that we have, and we try to provide the services that they need. I know, you know, like we were talking about before, you know, I know that there is a big worry on the parents of children who are now becoming older.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
the worry is what is going to happen when
yep.
I am no longer here. And it is a real worry.
Yes.
And so we are, you know, advocating for something to be done, some type of home, some type of whether it is a home where, you know, we have children living there, or we are able to provide in-home services for children whose parents are, you know, no longer here. You know, it's such a big issue to parents whose children cannot take care of themselves.
Yeah, I remember former Prime Minister Christie was talking about possibly getting some land.
Yes.
To allocate for REACH and organizations like that, because he himself has an autistic son.
That's correct.
How's that process going? Did that ever materialize, or are you
yes.
still something you're looking for? Yeah.
No, actually. So it was an idea that was started by the Christie administration, and then came to fruition during the Minnis administration. We were actually awarded the land. We had to pay a minimal cost. It was really
right.
peanuts.
Right.
And it's something that we are working on now. We are looking to. So we actually have the land. And we are looking to get plans drawn up. Of course, you know that all of this is an expense. Our hope is to provide a center. I think the land currently is on Gladstone Road.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we are looking to build a center that would be used for it, multi-purpose center, possibly mm-hmm. Definitely educational centers where, you know, meetings will be held, therapies will be provided, even job training, so forth and so on. So we are hopeful. We're so grateful that, you know, we were awarded the land, and we are looking to, you know, make really good use of it.
Excellent. All right. So tell us again, how do we join the fun run walk
right.
on Saturday that REACH is having, so that we can assist
yes.
With the work that REACH is doing?
So the Fun One Walk is going to be held this Saturday, the 21st at 6 a.m. In order to join, you can either go to the REACH office, which is on the Queen's College grounds. You can go there to register. There is a $25 registration fee. And then, of course, that comes along with all the goodies that you want in your bag, in addition to your shirt, your bib for walking or running. Or you can show up on the day of at 5 a.m. on Montague Beach. We prefer, if you were to register in advance, of course, for us to be able to provide everything that you need when you're out there. There's going to be water, of course, and light refreshments after the walk. And so we are looking forward to having the support of as many people as we can to, yes, raise funds, but in addition, just provide a fun day for there to be awareness. There will be families, professionals, and just people who just want to just, you know, run for their health out there. So we're looking forward to seeing as many of you as can join. And I should also say that REACH has a raffle that's coming up in the month of June. Yes, looking for your support. And more information will be given at the walk about the raffle. I'm not quite sure where we're going to have the raffle, where the tickets will be drawn. However, we are in the process of just getting everything finalized. There are some great prizes, airline tickets, I think gas vouchers.
I think stay at Comfort Suites.
They get Comfort Suites, yeah. Some goodies.
Awesome prizes.
Gift certificates, so forth and so on. So looking forward to the raffle and looking forward to your support.
Yes. Excellent. Well, you got my support, and everyone who I can tell you, you'll get their support as well.
Thank you so much,
ladies, for joining us. I know that some may consider it trite at this point, but you guys really are doing the Lord's work. You're selfless, you're tireless, and you take on something that a lot of people would have shied away from. And I don't envy the position you're in, but I would hope that I could display the same kind of strength and energy that you guys display.
Thank you so much. Just a reminder also, before we go, just want to let people know that the survey is available. Just go to the Reach Facebook page. And, you know, if you have a child who is on the spectrum, we'd like as many parents to fill that survey out as possible so that we can get accurate statistics.
And also, can we leave the office number? The office number is 328-4123, 328-4123, if you need more information in reference to the Fun Run Walk, the raffle, and the survey.
Okay, that's 328-4123.
Yes.
Yeah? Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Gerda Kalmer.
Gerda Kalmer.
Did I butcher your name, or is that right? Yeah? Okay.
Thank you.
Good. You guys take care. Have a great day.
Thank you so much.
And best of luck on Saturday.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to take a break, and we're going to be right back after.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem, just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
You do coffee your way. Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com today.
Burger King Nassau is bringing you the delicious taste of Philly cheese in three mouth-watering varieties. Enjoy the great taste of Philly cheese with your choice of flame-grilled beef, crispy chicken, or try out BK's plant-based beef version. BK's Philly cheese has all the fixings you love, including lots of melted cheese, caramelized onions, bell peppers, and mushrooms on a sesame seed hoagie bun. Try the new Philly cheese as a combo or as part of the King's Feast at any of BK's seven locations. Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It was really a pleasure talking with the folks from Reach. They really do a whole lot. I would like that I would have that kind of strength and fortitude when confronted with a challenge of that magnitude, but you really don't know until you go through it, and you got to admire the people who actually do go through it. At least I surely do, and I'm trying to help them as much as I can. Because they make a good point, too. It's, you know, the kids aren't going to stay kids. They're going to become adults. And if society isn't able to have some sort of solution for them, it's going to be an issue, all right? Because the fact of the matter is they will likely outlive their parents, and then it becomes a community issue as well. And so we want as many productive people in the community and people who need help, we want to be able to get them the help that they need, all right? Because it's about taking care of each other, you know? I mean, I don't want all y'all problems on me, but we got to try to make sure we're having some semblance of a society if we're saying that's what we want. If we're saying we want to be able to use our resources to help those who really can't help themselves or who actually just need that extra bit of help, then we want to be able to do that. And I got no problem with that. All right. So before we were speaking with Reach, we were speaking about what the former prime minister was talking about with taxing the rich and helping the poor with the money. That's all well and good in theory, in practice. I think he's in no position to really advocate for getting hardcore and turning the screws on the rich because you didn't do it. All right. Am I for taxing rich people more? Sure. Absolutely. Yeah, they can. I'm not saying kill them, right? But they could cough up a little more. I'm perfectly all right with that to understand, you know. But certainly, they can cough up a little more. Let's talk about this travel issue, right? That the people we're talking about today. Hello? Sorry about that. Can you hear me? Can anyone hear me? Something happened with the, tell me you can hear me. Somebody message me. Oh, okay, you can hear me now. Oh, did I mute it myself? How do you do that? Let me see. Ah, space bar. Sorcery. Okay, my bad. I was leaning on the keyboard. Okay, my bad. Sorry, didn't realize that. Anyway, let's talk about this travel issue that was raised today. Now, I don't know where this came from. I don't be listening to everybody talk about everything, right? But Clint is back. Clint had clearly some vitamin IVs, a rejuvenative something. He had time today, son, to address everything. Okay, so one of the things I asked Clint about was now, Clint's good at his job, no doubt. But the fact of the matter is, I don't understand why the Prime Minister's travel is a big deal. And I don't understand why Clint or anyone feels the need to push a narrative that the Prime Minister's traveling because he's in such high demand as a speaker. That doesn't make any sense to me. Here's the thing. If the Prime Minister travels and his wife is going with him, I got a problem with that. All right. If the Prime Minister travels and 6-7 other cabinet ministers need to go for whatever reason, I got a problem with that. Right. If, say, the Prime Minister travels and rents a huge jet and goes to London, then goes to the Vatican, then goes to California to go see Sir Sidney and check on how he's doing with like 100 people or whatever it is. That becomes an issue. If the prime minister is traveling and children and grandchildren are going along and he's renting cars for them and hotel suites for them and all that, then travel becomes an issue. If the prime minister's traveling to go give a shout out to Rihanna to go take her a baby gift, Rihanna had the baby, somebody said, that's a problem. If the prime minister's traveling to a conference where other world leaders are attending, how is that an issue? Now, I'm not saying go wild, right? You got a budget, present what your travel budget is, and go from there. Here's how this works. I'm going to keep trying to talk to those who don't quite get this. We are a nation of 400,000 people, okay? We have an economy generously of over $12 billion, all right? We're a drop in the bucket on the world stage. If the Bahamas wants to talk to the rest of the world, to meet up with the rest of the world, to engage with the rest of the world, we're usually going to have to go where the rest of the world is going. All right? I want my prime minister to go talk to other regional and world leaders. I want my prime minister. He's up and represent our country and do business on our behalf. This is how this works. You think the people in Dubai are going, yeah, you know what? We gotta let's throw a dart at the world map and someone's gonna land on the Bahamas and the people in Dubai and Qatar, whatever you wanna call it, are sitting around going, now let's go figure out what we can go do for the Bahamas. And let's go all fly down there and figure out who we talk to and go deal with the Bahamas personally, because we love them so much, because the Bahamas is so special that all of us understand how important the Bahamas is. It's nonsense. If we want to talk to these people who are moving and shaking around the world, we need to go to them. All right? Beyond, they might just come here for fishing and they bought a house down here. We got to go to them. So the prime minister is going to travel. He needs to do that. I want him to do that. I'm not tripping. All right? But you don't got to say he's traveling because everybody want to talk to him. You don't got to say, well, he rock-starring it out like Mia Motley here and everybody want to holler at him and all that. You don't got to do all that. It's the prime minister's role. Part of it is traveling, talking to other world leaders. That's how you get stuff done. All right? That's like the prime minister. That's okay, for instance. All right? Let's say the prime minister and there's a guy out of Lyford Key, right, who is a billionaire. And he's like, you know what? I bought a house down here. I didn't realize you guys are still using heavy fuel oil and ADO to burn engines. You know, I got a guy who's in renewable energy. He owns a factory. I'm going to have him over for dinner. Why don't you come over here for dinner and you talk to him, bring your minister of finance, bring your, you know, your special advisor, whatever. Let the prime minister come and talk to this guy. There could be some opportunity for it. And that's like prime minister going, man, I ain't going to Life for Key to come to y'all. I ain't burning no gas to go to y'all. I'm not going to pay Rubis $70 and go pay overtime and have outriders to go come to Life for Key to y'all. He need to go. You need to go. Okay. If it's COP26 happening and all Macron and whoever else is there, you need to go there. All right. If that's what they're dealing in carbon credit initiative, then go there. Go to Glasgow. Glasgow or Glasgow? Look, it is what it is. Go to Glasgow. All right. Take your people and go talk to the carbon credit people and go deal with the thing from there. All right. And on top of that, there are places the prime minister has already agreed to go. He's obligated to go. He's been invited places. All right. It is part of his duty to go. Same thing with foreign affairs, same thing with education. There's a huge major education conference. You got to go. Do it. I don't want you to blow all the money, but go. Right? So Clay Sweeting, Chester Cooper, they went to Guyana at an agro business forum down there because part of CARICOM's initiative is to have like 25% less or 25% food sustainability by 2025. All right? Now, I think they rented it to go to Guyana, which maybe that's excessive. but I'm not tripping. Right? What I want you to do is go these places and bring us back results. Now, if you're just going to go kick it and go lime up at the best hotels and eat the best dinner and ain't nothing coming of it, that becomes a problem. But if you going to Guyana is going to get us the 25% food sustainability by 2025, go, yeah, go ahead, carry your people from tourism and I, go, y'all, 20 of y'all go. Don't kill it, but go and come back and bring me results. Then there are other obligations that require government travel. For instance, I don't think the government would pay for it, but let's just say, for example, John Roll, okay? He's governor of the central bank. So by virtue of him being governor of the central bank, he is automatically on the board of directors. Am I saying this right? The board of directors or the board of governors of the International Monetary Fund. All right. He got to go. When they have a meeting, he got to go. All right. If it in Fiji, he got to go. He needed to go. He needed to understand all the ins and outs of all this stuff. All right. So I don't know why everyone throws this travel thing at each other. Now, the Christie and the Vatican trip, that was a different vibe altogether. That one I still don't get. But in terms of somehow the Davis administration needs defending because of their travel, I don't get that. And I don't get that the Minnesota administration needed defending in terms of its travel either. All right? That's part of the job. So there are certain jobs you're going to take, and they're going to go, you are going to have to travel for this job. You have a problem with that? You have little small children at home and you want to tuck them in at night, this job might not be for you. So there was a job, I hope Carlton Smith's not listening. There was a job. Never mind, Carlton, I won't do you like that. Anyway, there are jobs that require travel and there are jobs I won't take because they require travel. They require you go in different places. All right, for days on end, like 50 times, 40 times a year, you represent an organization that may be subsidized by the government or is part of a satellite of an international body. When they have meetings, you have to go. And that's how the world works, guys. The Bahamas isn't some place unto itself, unless y'all just can fish. And that's what we can fish, and we can build a house out of pine, and we can figure out how to grow more yam. All right, we got the taro, that's growing in my yard, y'all could eat that. And we just can live like that. But if you want to live as part of the global community, you got to go around the global community. This is how it works. So you got to elevate your thinking on this one, Bahamians. I can't stay down there with you to tell you that the world should just come line up to us. They don't care. You think billionaires in Europe are going, boy, I can't wait to get down to the Bahamas. When do you think Brave coming back so I can get down there? Man, you better go talk to these people. Go get them interested in the Bahamas. What is it that you're interested in doing? And that's all y'all go, oh, the foreigner. Man, what are you doing since we don't need foreigners? Who are you employing? And how are you creating economies of scale? Where's your $1 billion to invest? Please. That the government shouldn't court these people. All right. Understand you're part of the world. And if you want to talk to the world, they're not all right. Go out there and make the world know the Bahamas is here and what the Bahamas is about. Go talk to those people in the EU, in Brussels, and go explain to them, we're not a tax haven. We are not money laundering and financing terrorism. That's not what we do. And the next time somebody brings the Bahamas up to you, you're going to say, no, man, I know old boy from the Bahamas right there. Let me call him. He got an apartment around here on the second arrondissement. I don't know how the street's your name in Belgium. I'm thinking of France. And he can tell you what the Bahamas got going on. Otherwise, they can make their list. Bahamas, Seychelles, Virgin. They just going to make it if you don't know these people. But if you know the people, if you're around the people, if you communicate, you're like, no. I just had a meeting with a guy from the Bahamas. They're doing this, X, Y, Z in their parliament, yada, yada, yada. Right? You got to go to the world. All right? You got to. You want to go play in the NBA?
Ain't nobody coming to pick you up off Christie Park. Ain't no scouts coming down to this. You got to go to them. You got to go to the States. You got to go to where the marketing is, where the machine is. All right? But don't come telling me that the prime minister is traveling because everybody wants to see him, because everybody wants to holler at him, everybody calling him to come over there. That don't make no sense. All right? I can need y'all to step up your understanding of this with me, because I'm not going to sit there with you and go, all these fellas doing is traveling. Where I say, now, if they just go in and go kick it, like, at beaches and Turks and stuff like that, that's different, right? But if they're going on official government business, man, you better go out there and go get some business. And don't hang up, too. Go out there and be like, you're not going back to the Bahamas next week when you're free. Well, I might be free sometime in June. Yeah, June? Okay, I got my fella call you. Give me a number. See, when it's on the face, then just some formal ice cold over the phone or we teleconference or whatever. I will come see me. I can come see you. You come see me. That's how we do business. All right? A lot of business is struck off of people's reaction to other people's energy. And that sounds simplistic. Yeah, you need a business plan. Yeah, you need all this like that. But sometimes you'll meet someone and they'll talk to you and you go, you know what? I talked to their guy and he knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's doing. He sat with me. You know what I mean? We talked about where we went to school. We got some connections I didn't realize. Yeah, yeah. That's how this works. It don't work with us just sitting here going, but if y'all coming to us, we got the aragonite and we got the salt and we could just be fine without y'all. No, you won't. I won't. You go fish and live in a thatched palm house. I want bricks and TV and what all I got. I look at my fence right here. All right. It's a mango on the neighbor tree. Listen. I don't care what they say. If your mango hanging over in my yard, that's my mango. All right? Don't look to me like I must come pick the mango for you. I'm playing. Actually, I'm serious. But anyway, but my neighbor's cool. Shout out to Desmond. If there's mangoes, go get the mangoes. It's got banana trees too. I don't want, listen, y'all want to sit here and go, yeah, man, we can sit here. Y'all don't make nothing. Where you buy your clothes from? Where you buy your shoes from? Your socks. Y'all just make socks? Y'all got that one under control? Y'all have wool? Any sheep? You got a lot of sheep tongue. I don't see no sheep. If you think the Bahamas is going to get along and grow without engaging the world, me and you can't talk because you don't know what you're talking about. Bone up on your understanding of the global situation as far as commerce and interconnectivity of the world goes, and then come back and talk. I don't know, we can't talk about that. All right? That's like me and you talking about BPL telling me power has come from lightning shooting down from the sky. Like, we ain't on the same level of understanding of this stuff. I can't have a discussion with you. So stop acting like our leaders from these small countries. Listen. The place I went to college in Oklahoma, their county has 10 times more people than New Providence, the county that we were in, okay? Nobody down there where I went to school is going, oh, Bahamas, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, you'd meet some people. It'll be different now. And they'd think, oh, Bahamas, Atlantis, vacation. Ain't nobody down there going, you know, we all got to get to the Bahamas. No, and let's go see what kind of business we could do. The world doesn't care about you. You got to make your presence known and felt around the world. So go ahead and travel, man. I don't know if I want Basil McIntosh going to win no more, unless I don't have a lot of confidence in him from last lap, but we'll see. All right. Beef up your understanding of where we are in the world and who we are in the world. We're a sovereign nation. We're a proud people. And we have a lot to be proud of, and we have a lot to offer. But we're not going to maintain our standard of life or grow it. As much as y'all keep talking about growth economy and people need ownership and people need it, none of that's going to happen if we don't engage the world. I ain't one to debate it. I'm telling you, that is how we grow. There are other things that can grow us as well, but we must grow. Brave Davis must continue to engage the rest of the world. Chester Cooper's Minister of Tourism, he must go out there. In fact, He home a little too much for me. He need, and you as Minister of Investments, man, you know, go get out there, man. Go, you could be gone for a year. Go, my brother. Go bring us back some investments. You know, you what you here? Why you here? The money out there, you here. Right? So I don't get it. Why does it issue with travel? But I also don't buy this thing that they invite and Brave because he just, you know, so impressed everybody and they calling him. Anyway, that's it for the show today. We're going to be back, Lord willing, tomorrow. And we'll talk about some other things then. You guys take care out there and have a great day, Bahamas.